Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Tending to your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for details. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, slightly vocally challenged, but still
you sound
forging
right.
on. Does this laryngitis make me sound sexy?
Let's hear your Barry White.
I sound like Barry White. Okay.
Okay. And you know, Barry White had diabetes.
Oh, he did.
We're not going to digress. Okay. He passed away, I think.
Oh, a long time ago. He had a stroke. Yeah. He was in a coma.
Yeah.
It was a whole, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have an email from Bonnie. Good morning, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm a healthy 67-year-old woman. I eat a low-carb diet. I exercise. I take supplements. 5'8 and 120 pounds. That's beautiful. However, off and on over several years, I will feel a sharp pinprick pain in one of my fingers, and when I turn my hand over, I see a broken blood vessel. It stings, and then it bruises, and then the pain goes away. This week, the same thing happened on the bottom of my foot and on my thumb. My concern is this also happening in my brain?
Oh, well.
Do I have capillary fragility?
Yeah.
Will bioflavonoids help me?
Well, before we, you know.
Should I seek medical attention?
On the theory, you know, first of all, you know, there is this phenomenon of these tiny blood vessels breaking.
Yeah.
And that could be in the normal course of things, but it could also represent a hematological condition.
Hmm.
So, first things first, before we decide to use vitamin C and bioflavonoids to support capillary integrity. Mm-hmm. By the way, bioflavonoids are, originally they were referred to as vitamin P or substance P, and that had to do with permeability.
Okay.
And they prevent leaky blood vessels. So,
less,
you know,
permeable, less bruising.
When you have scurvy or when you have, deficiency of, vitamin, of bioflavonoids, they tend to work together on capillary fragility.
Mm-hmm.
People develop what are called petechiae, which are like little spontaneous bleeding
like
spots,
purple-ish.
Yeah. But not bruises per se, but you know, more breaking capillaries, and that's a sign of scurvy. Or, but it doesn't necessarily mean that more bioflavonoids or vitamin C are going to remedy this problem if it indeed is a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, there's some basic tests that a primary care doctor or even a hematologist should do.
Mm-hmm. So rule out anything.
I would get, you know, I would mention to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, is that, you know, it sounds like the alarmist conclusion that blood vessels are breaking in her brain is a remote possibility.
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't usually present that way.
It doesn't, which is good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my. Bonnie, okay. Best of luck to you. Follow up with your doctor. That's always good advice. All right. Oh, here's one from Irma. Dear Layla and Dr. H, after listening for over 2 decades, you can see I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Recently, Dr. Hoffman interviewed 3 different manufacturers of CBD oils. I know that Dr. Hoffman sells supplements he truly believes in, but I'm not sure which one to get. What is your recommendation?
I think that there's some good manufacturers out there. These days, I've sort of thrown my lot in with CV Sciences, which makes a brand called Plus CBD Oil. And their website is pluscbdoil.com. You spell out plus, pluscbdoil.com.
Okay. So that would be one, right?
And for those who, they don't make a vaping product.
Mm-hmm.
For those who like to vape, and that's controversial because, you know, you're inhaling the stuff and, you know, are there impurities? And are you getting stuff from the vaping pen? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a less favored way of getting it. But for certain applications, people vape.
You will feel the effects more directly than if you take it in a supplement form, which needs to digest and so forth and so
on. For pain, possibly, for brain-related issues, mm-hmm. vaping goes more to the brain. Mm-hmm. That's Elixinol, Elixinol.
Uh-huh.
And they make a Respira product that is mm-hmm. a vaping product. So, you know, I don't think it's completely worked out which of these products you use. I know we have another question that's like, which CBD product should I use? Well, it's individualized. I think some are better for people who have anxiety and sleep issues. Some are better for people who have pain.
She has sleep issues. And apparently she's tried all of my, she describes Layla's excellent sleep hygiene protocol, but I still awaken
every
2 to 3 hours.
Try the, there's three main lines on plus CBD oil.
Okay.
And the products that are yellow or gold
mm-hmm.
are the ones that are probably strongest for sleep, in my opinion.
Okay.
They're potent, mm-hmm. and if you take two at bedtime, I think you'll do well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Irma, thank you very much for your question. I hope you find your way to a good night's sleep soon.
Okay, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors, an opportunity to share this vital message with you. Please listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions. Layla, what's next?
Okay, we've got a very interesting email from Jill. Hello, I see your frequent promotion of low-carb diets. While I hear you talk about weight loss, I was wondering if you could address a few long-term considerations. The main concern is if you lower insulin, you raise cortisol, and ignore that insulin...
Let's take one assertion at a time. If you lower insulin, you raise cortisol...
Not necessarily.
Now, I looked at that.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at that assertion because I said, this is the thoughtful person, and you know, maybe she's. Now, when you send me stuff like that, please send me a reference.
Yeah.
Because an assertion is not as powerful as a reference that's scientifically based.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the opposite. I think that excess insulin raises cortisol.
Yes. Because excess insulin is going to lower the blood sugar, right?
When we
have a hypoglycemic crash, what happens? Cortisol comes out.
But I'm not sure the converse is true. So what I could say, though, is that if you normalize your insulin, you may allow your cortisol to revert to normal.
Yes.
But it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go away.
No, insulin will not go away because it's a very important hormone.
Or cortisol won't go away.
Or cortisol either. Yeah. Exactly. We need some, otherwise nobody's getting up in the morning.
Excuse me.
Not happening either. So she says, the main concern is if you lower insulin, you raise cortisol and ignore that insulin has some very important functions. No, we don't ignore any of that. And insulin does not completely go away. We would not have life if insulin completely go away. This will look good for short-term.
Hence the need for insulin for type 1 diabetics.
Yeah.
You cannot manage a type 1 diabetic with nothing.
So Jill is thinking that a chronic low-carb diet is going to cause a low insulin state overall. No. When you eat a big meal, even if it's a low-carb big meal, your insulin's coming up. Doesn't matter how low-carb it was.
Yeah.
You know, think Thanksgiving, even without the sweet potatoes and the pumpkin pie.
You know, frankly, if you even see the turkey, your insulin goes up.
Yeah, because your mouth is watering.
Yeah.
Your pancreas is being stimulated.
There's a cerebral response.
Right. Listen, Jill, think of a type 1 diabetic. A type 1 diabetic makes no insulin at all.
Right.
They will eventually die.
Yeah.
And that's what happened before insulin was discovered, the injectable.
Their lives could be prolonged
exactly.
with a no-carb diet by eating tons of fat.
Right. So by doing a low-carb diet long-term, you're actually normalizing your insulin. You're not just lowering it. You are indeed giving your pancreas a big break if you've been very hyperinsulinemic in the past, or metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, diabetes,
right.
all of the above. So you're actually giving your adrenals a rest.
Right. And I'm glad you agree with me on this because,
yeah.
I mean, with your nutritional training, I mean, it you know, certainly that's an issue that
yeah.
is taught
mm-hmm.
in master's degrees programs.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
But I really couldn't find evidence of any downside effect.
I've not found it except for the ketosis flu.
Yeah.
Which I've it's either up on the newsletter or it will
right.
be up on
now,
the newsletter.
So I will point out, though, that sometimes people with very specialized situations, such as bodybuilders,
yeah.
and when they dope, when mm-hmm. they use like anabolic steroids or something, and they cycle, sometimes they use insulin,
oh.
but they use insulin because it has the potential to put on muscle.
Yeah, because it's a growth factor.
Yeah, right.
It's a growth
Which is, you know, mm-hmm. shows that, I mean, but what they're looking for is some sort of supra physiologic effect. And they look like, you know, monstrous, you know, with their hypertrophied muscle.
Yeah.
So,
like they could fall over.
Right. So, but is that healthy?
Yeah.
It's not physiologic.
Yeah.
It's not natural.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jill, just making some more points in your email here. And by the way, thank you very, very much for this very thoughtful email. It's actually a teaching moment
yeah.
for us to talk about all of this. You're not having a low insulin state. You're having more of a normal insulin state. We're not meant to have all this insulin circulating secondary to a very high carb diet.
I mean, half of Americans have too much insulin.
Yeah,
that's metabolic syndrome.
That's metabolic syndrome. And that's when cortisol is high.
Yeah.
Is because the adrenals are constantly being called to help normalize blood sugar.
And it keeps you fat.
Exactly. And it keeps you fat. Exactly. Now, a wrong way to do a low carb diet is to not have your regular meal times. You will still become hypoglycemic if you're not eating when you're hungry. You should be eating when you're hungry. That's the proper way to do it. So regular meal times, at least within a 1 hour, hour and a half window of when you normally eat.
But discover true hunger, not just emotional gratification.
True hunger.
Or sugar craving.
My stomach is growling,
right.
you know, growling and
right.
growling, as you said earlier.
I think to me, one of the best aspects of the paleo diet that I'm on is that it sort of restored a natural appetite
yeah.
As opposed to gratification appetite. You know, it's
yeah.
sort of like I could go for a really long time and I feel fine. And then I feel like, I'm really hungry.
Yeah, must
you
eat
know,
now.
Must.
Yeah, yeah, must eat now. And it's a true hunger. It's not a false hunger.
Yeah.
Which is AKA craving. That's false hunger
yeah.
is craving. So, and eating the wrong stuff just begets more craving for it. So, and anyway, she also brings up the fact that insulin is needed for nitric oxide. Yes.
No, actually, it's actually nitric oxide is necessary for insulin.
Is necessary for insulin.
Insulin function.
Ah.
So what they found is mm-hmm. that patients with metabolic syndrome have faulty nitric oxide metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
They have lowered levels of nitric oxide. So it's actually sort of a chicken and egg thing. Adequate nitric oxide will improve your insulin functioning because it's not just the amount of insulin, it's how the insulin is received, how
okay.
your sensitivity to the insulin.
Okay.
So when you lose insulin sensitivity,
yeah.
you become insulin resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Nitric oxide plays a role in that.
Yeah. So nitric oxide, there's plenty of low-carb green leafy vegetables to get your nitric oxide from.
Right.
So they're in your diet and that's helping your normalized level. Dietary nitrates. They're helping your now normal insulin levels. And Jill, I just want to mention, if you are found to have a high cortisol, there may be a different reason for that
stress.
Altogether.
Stress.
Stress, not having regular meal times, all of that, or allowing very low blood sugar to happen when you shouldn't. Some people just push it too far. Some people go
What's
a little...
What's her problem? She's worried that she has too low a cortisol?
Yeah, she's worried she has too high a cortisol and not enough insulin.
Oh.
Because insulin is supposed to be good for us in normal amounts.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that cortisol will age us. You know,
maybe all
thin
that
skin,
all that
bones.
Worry about the insulin maybe raising your cortisol.
Could be.
Okay.
Could be. Jill, thank you again for this very, very thoughtful email. This is great. Okay. Thank you for that. All right. We've got one from Michael. I recently started on MSM powder. I've been taking 2 scoops a day. This amounts to about 4,000 to 8,000 units. What is your opinion on this dose?
For what?
Yeah, he doesn't say for what. He doesn't say for what.
I think people take MSM for joint problems.
Joints, yeah, I would imagine.
I take a little MSM for joint protection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For, you know, arthritis, there's some studies on rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Although it hasn't really been one of those things that's attracted a lot of... I think most of the papers on that appear in the 90s.
Yeah.
And
it
I know
can
that,
be helpful
you know,
for
you know,
detox,
You know the actor James Coburn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. James Coburn, yeah.
Right? He was a guy who had rheumatoid arthritis, and he was a big proponent of high-dose MSM.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Among celebrities. So that sounds okay to me.
Mm-hmm. It sounds all right. Yeah, if it's for joint pain or something like that.
And it seems to also may have an effect in allergies and asthma.
Mm-hmm. Very good. It's good for detoxification. All that sulfur.
Sulfur.
Yeah, which is very, very good. So, terrific. Yeah, so take your MSM, Michael. All right. So.
One more question, please.
One more question. Let's see here. We've got one about maple syrup. Paul asks, when I was a kid, we would collect fresh fallen snow, pour maple syrup on it, and eat it like a dessert. Any redeeming qualities to dark amber organic maple syrup?
Well, it's best if you go into the woods, tap the trees, and then grab some snow and then have a snow cone. That's
right.
Probably the healthiest way to have it.
Similar to molasses, maple syrup does have some of the important nutrients. Some, you know, there's iron there, there's some calcium there, there's some zinc there. But it also contains some numerous antioxidants, according to Dr. Axe, who put together something nice. It also has a lower score on the glycemic index.
Okay.
It's certainly going to be better to table sugar or to agave nectar.
And, you know, it's interesting. On the paleo diet, they say don't eat sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But the paleo diet of the Native Americans in the Adirondacks and in Maine consisted of one time a year when the trees were ripe, and they recognized all the signs when the trees were ready to give their sap, they would tap the trees, and then they would go on a sugar high, which is kind of interesting because it also coincides with sort of the famine season because I guess it's late winter when they are most ready to give up their sap.
Okay.
And so that would provide sort of a hedge against starvation.
And
you know, it's hard to say that sugar was never part of the human diet.
That's true.
But there's a tremendous drive to acquire calories.
Mm-hmm.
And
when food is scarce,
Yeah, and so Native Americans discovered this principle in one of the earliest, I mean, where were you going to get sugar in the olden days? Well, you'd have to maybe climb a cliffside and get stung by hundreds of angry bees and raid a beehive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Tapping trees is a lot of work. So there was a caloric burn off associated with that effort. Yeah. Now it's like, hey, let's go up and let's pull over and let's go. We're in New England. Let's stop by that roadside, you know, market. And we'll get some Vermont maple syrup.
There you go.
You know, let's get an extra, you know, let's get a 64 ounce.
There you go. You'll get plenty of potassium.
Then we'll pour
calcium.
It on our pancakes, our starchy,
put it in your coffee.
Starchy white flour pancakes, and maybe put a little sugar on top. You know, just in case.
Oh my, yeah.
So I don't have a problem with it. You know,
yeah. consume, yeah.
You know what's good is, although yams are very nice, you know, for butternut squash soup or just, you know, mashed squash, you can add a little, you know, bit of that, you know, if you're not maybe really carbohydrate sensitive, just to, just to enhance the flavor, along with some nice pumpkin spices like cardamom and nutmeg and lots of cinnamon.
Yes.
And coriander.
Cinnamon will keep you warm.
Ginger.
Too.
Ginger. You know, those are really good spices for, you know, this time of year, eat a lot of squash.
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing about maple syrup, it may enhance antibiotic effects.
Okay.
So that's something. Extracts from maple syrup in conjunction with antibiotics, Cipro, they observe some antimicrobial effect with upwards of 90% less in antibiotics alone. In other words,
sugar dressings are actually have been used historically to treat wounds because anybody who makes preserves, you know, it's like sometimes like I can't find any sugar-free preserves. Sugar, you know, it's like why? Because sugar is antimicrobial.
Yes.
When they add it to preserves, it is a preservative.
It's a preservative
at high dose. Versus, I don't know exactly the reason, but
Same way salt is to a degree. So, okay. Enjoy some maple syrup from time to time.
And,
that should be
fine. And spread it on your leg ulcers.
Yeah, that's really the other thing. The same way you would, say, raw honey if you had a cut or a scrape or something like that. You can use maple syrup for that as well. That's often helpful.
Yep. All right. And just as a little precaution, avoid raw honey for your little kitties.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
for no one under two.
Explain that.
Botulism. Yeah. So don't feed honey to babies.
Yeah.
Infants.
And why that is because they lack the defenses against botulism.
Yeah, they're still priming their immune systems. They're still, you know, elderly and babies, weakened immune systems. You have to think about that.
Botulism is something that causes paralysis.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Botox...
Botox. Yeah.
Yeah. So it
causes paralysis of the muscles, so you don't see the wrinkle.
It can cause, you know, so wait, does that mean that if you eat raw honey, you're going to, like, look younger?
No.
only if you're an infant.
Only if you're an infant.
And then you don't care anyway, because you don't need to look younger.
Yeah, you're
okay, so don't do it. All right. I'm going to rest my voice a little bit, Layla. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
All right. Thank you, audience, for bearing with me. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, along with our nutritionist in residence, Layla Mudin. And we welcome your inquiries, radioprogram@AOL.com. Reminder, we're in practice here in Manhattan. Glad to see you if you want to make the journey. And that's it for this week's edition of Q&A with Layla. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.